There's a very well-respected Protestant theologian by the name of William Willimon, who for many years has taught in North Carolina at Duke University. Once he wrote a book with the title, Remember Who You Are. And at the beginning of this book, he would talk about how he remembered when he was a teenager or a young adult, and he'd be going out for the evening, maybe on a date or going out to a party with friends, that as he left the house, his mom would say to him, Will, don't forget who you are. We know what Mom Willimon meant by that, don't we? She wasn't concerned that somehow Will would forget his address or forget his name. But she knew that alone on a date or in the midst of some party or joined by certain friends, he might forget who he was. She knew that sometimes all of us are tempted to answer with some alien name and we forget who we are. So I like this admonition. Don't forget who you are. This is the beginning of May, a time of the year when the church celebrates in a particular way our Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary. And I'd like to suggest to you today that Mary is saying this to each one of us. My beloved children at St. Peter's, do not forget who you are. Do not forget your true name. Do not answer to some alien name. Now, Simon Peter, and I'm so happy that we're named after Simon Peter. I'd find it a little bit more challenging if this was St. Paul. He seemed to just have everything together in a way after he became a Christian. But I'm so much more like Peter. He never seems to get it right. Or, well, he gets it right, then he gets it wrong, then he gets it right, he gets it wrong. And he understands this whole thing about do not forget who you are. Do not forget your name. But how easily he did, right? Remember around the fire on Holy Thursday, there he was, just him, a few women, a few people. It was dark, not a lot of other people around. And they say, you were with him, weren't you? And he, no, I wasn't. Three times. No, not me. And just hours before, he'd said to Jesus, don't worry, when I go out from here, I won't forget who I am. I'll always remember who I am. I'll always remember my name, Jesus. I'll never answer to an alien name. And here he is, around the fire. But we can all sympathize with Peter. We understand how hard it is. Think about it. They just had the Last Supper. And if you've ever read John 13, 14, 15, 16, that was the homily after Mass. All of that teaching given at one time in the upper room. And then they're out in the garden. And, you know, Peter, I just want to stay awake. But he's overwhelmed with grief, as St. Luke tells us. And because of grief, he and James and John fell asleep. And then there's that other one, that Judas. Judas, repeatedly, Jesus had said, don't forget who you are. And here's Judas. We were so privileged when we were in the Holy Land in January, we were given access to the private garden where Jesus would have perhaps gone with the apostles. And it really is a private garden. If you didn't know how to get there, you wouldn't find it. And so there's Judas Iscariot, forgetting who he is, and betraying Jesus over to those who will arrest him. And repeatedly, for 3 years, Jesus had been talking about the kind of kingdom that he was going to usher in. But you know, when you're in that kind of pressure, when you're in that kind of place, and if you've got a sword in your hand, you're going to use it, and you're going to cut off the slave Malchus's ear. Because what do you do in a world like this? How easy it was for Peter to forget who he was. And as St. Mark tells us, in an economy of words, when it was all said and done, Peter and the others deserted Jesus and fled. You know, living in a world like this, it's very hard to remember who we truly are. It's really hard to remember that we are Catholic Christians. And it could have been around the fire in Jerusalem in the first century, or it could be here, maybe at a modern university, modern high school, place where we work, place where just people are so skeptical a lot of the time and are just so dismissive of people of faith. And then there's the virtual world. Now, don't get me wrong, there's amazing things available online that can help us to understand our true identity, but it's so easy to answer to an alien name, to click here, to click there, to click somewhere else, and we've just lost ourselves. And then there's just life. the responsibilities of trying to live today, trying to live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we can at times just be so overwhelmed by what life brings to us that God seems as remote to us as the possibility of the Calgary Flames winning the Stanley Cup in my lifetime. It's really hard, and you know that. And then here's something that I know many of us struggle with. What about our adult children? We raised them in the faith. We brought them to church. We had them confirmed. But darn, when they left home and they didn't come back and they started their own home, it seems that they forgot who they are. And they seem to be answering to this alien name, consumed by all sorts of ideas, all sorts of ways of living that kind of become distracted by a material world, or they hear the bad news about the Catholic Church, and there is some bad news, but it's not the only news. But there's also this thing that we have to admit, right? That in some ways, we want to forget our true name because we want to live life on our own terms. And we don't want to live life in accordance with what God has said. So that's the bad news. But there is even better good news. And it's this, that Simon Peter, who around the fire on Holy Thursday, like within 2 months, about 60 days, and now he's not just in some sort of little anonymous gathering. No, now he's before the Sanhedrin. Within Judaism, these were the most powerful men in the country. And listen to how Peter is able to talk in their company. We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you've killed by hanging him on the tree. But God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel for the forgiveness of sins. We are martyrs, witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Within 2 months, there's a 180-degree turn in the life of Peter. What's happened? Well, do you remember at the end of the reading from Acts that Peter and John were commanded to no longer speak in the name? What name? The name of Jesus Christ. But this is what occurred. Well, at breakfast, Jesus takes Simon Peter aside. Oh, before we get to the breakfast, isn't it weird? There's Simon Peter in the boat, and he's naked. Now, maybe that's the way they fish in the Middle East. I mean, you know, it might get hot, and you know, that why not? But the weird part of the story is that when he sees that it's Jesus on the shore, he puts his clothes on, jumps into the water, and swims to shore. I mean, why not go in the buff? That they're only 90 meters from shore. The boys can bring Peter's clothes in and give them to him when he arrives. Why the nakedness and the clothes? Because, of course, St. John is telling us something of great significance. Before Jesus Christ, Peter is completely naked. Jesus knows him inside out. But Peter's like you and me. He feels shame. I'm just going to cover myself up. It doesn't matter that I'm going to be soaking wet. I'd rather go and stand before Jesus with these clothes on, even though he has even better sight than Superman, and he can see through everything. It's the retelling of the story of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve are naked. They feel no shame. They disobey, and they then try to cover up before God. There's our first pope, doing the exact same thing. Isn't that good news? Because you're like that, I'm like that, we're all like that. We all answer to alien names. It's so easy to forget who we truly are. And then when we see Jesus and he sees us, we think, oh no, I've done it again. But here's the amazing news of this story. Do you remember how at the beginning of the part of the narrative where Jesus is going to talk with Simon Peter, St. John says, Simon Peter. But when Jesus addresses him, he says, Simon, son of John. What's the distinction? Well, Peter is his office. It's like you call me Father, but Father's not my name. It's my office. I'm Father, but my name is Jonathan. And he is Simon Peter, Simon the Rock, Simon the Pope. But get this. When Jesus addresses him, he doesn't say Pope Peter. He uses his given name, Simon, son of John. Because that's what Jesus always does when he's trying to get our attention, when he's trying to woo us back to himself. When we've answered to those alien names, he never gets up coming to us and saying, Jonathan. He doesn't call me Father Jonathan. He speaks to me by name. And he wants to speak into each one of our hearts by name. Because he's wanting to restore us. He's wanting to renew us. And he's wanting to ask us the same question he asked Simon, son of John. Some of you know this, perhaps. But if you don't, it's beautiful to tell you. And if you do know this, for you to be reminded of this. In this part of the text in the Greek, there's something that is so beautiful that we don't see in English translation. Because in English, it's the word love, 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 love all the way through. But in the Greek, when Jesus asks of Simon, son of John, the question, Simon, do you love me? Jesus uses the word agape, which is the deepest type of love. It's that self-giving, sacrificial love, the giving my all kind of love. But here's the thing. Simon, son of John, doesn't answer by saying, yes, I agape you. He uses the word filio, from which we get the word Philadelphia, a city of brotherly love. In other words, what's he doing? Jesus is saying, Simon, will you give me your all? And Simon says, for now, is it okay if I'm just your friend? And then Jesus asks a second time, using the word agape, do you love me? And again, Simon says, okay, come on, like, I want to be your friend, but let's not take it too far. And Jesus gets it. So interestingly, on the third asking, Jesus changes the word. He says, Simon, do you filio me? Will you be my friend? And then we're told by John, Simon was upset. He was hurt that Jesus asked the third time. I think he's hurt primarily because there's been a change in word. But interestingly, Simon answers the third time, yeah, Jesus, I'll be your friend. And that's where he started. And then Jesus commissions him, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Like our first pope had to grow into his office. It didn't come all at once. And then as the passage ends with that wonderful prophetic word, where Jesus says, when you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wish. But when you get old, you'll have to stretch out your hands while someone else dresses you and takes you where you don't want to go. He said this, said St. John, to hint at the kind of death by which Peter, hear that? By which, not Simon, son of John, by which Peter would glorify God. And then he commanded him, follow me. So by the time Peter gets to the end of his life, he is Peter, he is the Pope, he's grown into his office. And he will be crucified upside down as the first Pope. But he didn't start there. No, he started where we all start. Ups and downs, forgetting our name, answering to an alien name, being intimidated by the world in which we live. But the more we let Jesus into our heart, the more we come to this place of sort of saying, Jesus, set the table. And I want to come and sit with you. If you saw my perspective this weekend, you'll see there's a picture in there of a table. It's called Mensa Christi. It means the table of Christ. It's a huge stone. And it's this very stone on which Jesus prepared breakfast that he had with Peter and the other apostles. Well, here we have another table. And Jesus is going to prepare a meal for us here, not fish and bread, but his very body, blood, soul, and divinity. And as we come forward today, may we hear Jesus ask us the question, do you agape me? Do you truly love me? And be honest with him as to where you can answer that. And at the moment, it might be, I don't know if I can go that far, Jesus, but I want to be your friend. But it might be that, yes, you can say, Lord, I want to give you my all. And so, conclusion, let me just refer to again what I said at the beginning. Mary says to us in this month that is her month, Do not forget your name. Remember who you are. Because you see, Jesus can work his art in those who, although really, really imperfect, know of his infinite love for us. And he asks us to pray, Jesus, I desire to love you with a complete and heroic love, so that in whatever way you ask, I will lay down my life for you.